Steph, you might, there we go, that's better. Gonna blast your eardrums out. I want to encourage everybody to mark your calendars for next weekend. Hopefully you can make it to our grief seminar that was already mentioned. Michael Whitworth has a very touching story to tell, and I believe that he's very fitted for this topic, the topic of grief. And we all, at various times of life, do go through grief, don't we, church? And we need to learn from God's word about grief and how to go through that and process that. So it'll begin next Sunday morning. Michael will have the class time, sermon time, and then also at 5 o'clock, so an hour before our evening service, we'll have a session, and then he'll go into the one more session at 6 o'clock, and he'll have the evening period of service as well. So there'll be four lessons on that grief seminar, and I think you will really get something out of it. Pray about it. We hope that it's something, as church, we want it to benefit you and anybody else that may be going through things in their life and how to process grief. We began last week the spiritual spark, and these are, I said there's four lessons, so we had our first lesson last week. I've titled them spiritual growth lessons. If you want a more modern, up-to-date term, you could call it spiritual formation, right? That's part of who we are, people who are being formed or even transformed more and more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus. We're trying to grow in his likeness and in his ways. And this does fit with our theme for the year, right, of wanting to be a church reaching for devotion. That first thing we said we're reaching for was reaching up, right, to God, which is the concept of this idea here, spiritual formation or spiritual growth. We asked I mentioned the purpose and of spiritual formation or growth or the spiritual spark. Wherever we are in our faith, whatever age we are at or place we are in our walk with God, we need, if we are not being purposeful, we need that to ignite that purpose again, don't we? Because God wants us to continue to be faithful to him, to continue to walk with him. And we know that life can be very hard, very difficult at times. So the purpose of the spiritual spark is to ignite that purpose in us again. To be a people who don't just go through our faith. We're to be a people who grow in our faith, right? We don't just go through this thing called faith. We grow in it. And that's very important. Now the question is, how do we do that? How, when we get down to it, how do we grow in these ways? How do we ignite that purpose in us again if we've lost that spark or that purpose? How do we ignite that within us again? And that was our first lesson last week, which was really just one point. That spiritual growth or formation begins with some sort of a plan, doesn't it? Look, we all know that people plan important things. We don't plan things that aren't important. We plan things in our lives that are very important. And we illustrated this through, think about weddings and how many of us have been involved in the planning of weddings. We talked about this for a while. We talked about planning of vacations, and we do those things. We plan them throughout the year. We plan our monies, don't we? Our retirement, we budget, and we spend hours, days, weeks, months, and sometimes even years on these things, planning. But how about planning for our spiritual growth? What about the plans? What plans have we made for our spiritual formation? Because remember, we plan important things, and our spiritual formation is very important. As Peter closed out, and by the way, if you want to look at some book, Peter's letters, 1 and 2 Peter, great books on spiritual formation, on growing. And Peter actually wrapped up his second letter at the very end by saying, we are to grow. He said, but grow in what things? Remember, church, he said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God has given us a plan of salvation, hasn't he? He has sent that down to us through Jesus. And all that he is about, right? We're not going to get into those things. But in the grace of that one and the knowledge of that one, we are to grow. And so remember, I said, what are we to be doing from our baptism, our spiritual birth, until we go up to heaven to be with our Lord? What about the in between? What do we do? That's what this is about. Our spiritual formation. I mentioned there's different ways that we can plan and things that we can grow in. And some of you might say, well, my plan is I read my Bible every day for an hour and then I pray. That's good. If that's your plan and you do it, that's a good plan, church. And you can add to that. There's no limit to the plan, to spiritual formation. Some of the things that I mentioned were the study of God's Word, of course. We've got to continue to fill our minds and remind ourselves of the truth of God. You can't rely on what you were told 30 years ago. Right? You can't rely on what when you first obeyed the gospel said, you know what, that's good enough for me. I don't need to hear it anymore. You know what? You're not going to last very long. You got to be in the Word of God, right? 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God. A workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, but handling accurately or correctly the word of truth. Secondly, we said we got to think. We know that, right? Meditation, right? Placing these things in our mind so that it helps transform our lives. That's the Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 concept, isn't it? Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what the will of God is. That was just good, acceptable, and perfect. Reading good things. How to be better people, right? There's many great resources out there. Prayer is obviously an important part of our plan. We're a praying people because we have faith and believe in prayer. And God says to pray. And then I mentioned the action, right? And this is what we're going to dive into this morning. In our study, there's got to be the action part of it, and then the talking or the pause, the reinforcing of God's truths, as I've already mentioned. William Danforth, who was the founder of Nestle Purina, once said, "No plan is worth the paper it's printed on unless it starts you doing something." We can plan all day long, but until we do something, that plan isn't anything but something that's down on a piece of paper. We understand that. We have to get moving. We have to get going. This is the action part of our growth. So in our lesson today, which again, I said, each lesson will just really have one main point. The first one is we have to make a plan, right? The second one is very simple. In order for us to grow, we have to put that plan into action or into practice, right? That's a basic concept. We know that. It's so simple. But why is it so hard for us to do? We know this stuff. But why are we challenged to do it? Well, there's a lot of reasons. And we understand that. But we got to put our plan into practice. Spiritual growth picks up its momentum as we plan and then practice this plan. Somebody said the plan prepares the path, but the action provides the traction. You got to get going at some point, right? I like that idea. There's always a price to pay, isn't there, for anything we know that's worthwhile. I wish I could say, and I've wrestled with this through the years, that spiritual formation is easy. Even as a minister, a gospel preacher, it's not easy. Spiritual formation is not. There is a price that we pay for anything that is worthwhile. There's no different with this point. I wish it was easy sometimes. I wish I could set it on cruise control sometimes and just watch it happen. But it doesn't happen. I know John Maxwell, you've heard of him, a leadership kind of guru guy today. He is very well known in the business world. But he has said
he has mentioned, you can pay now and play later, or you can play now and pay later, but either way you will pay. Now that's not just a business world concept. That's spiritual formation concept. That's the fruit, bearing of fruit of God's word or not bearing fruit of God's word. We can pay the price now and later on, guess what? We'll see the benefits of investing in these things. Or we can play now and not do it, and later on, guess what? We pay a price, a big price in our life, because we didn't pay the price early on. As it has been said by others, invest in yourself before you invest in others. I firmly believe in that principle when it comes to spiritual growth. That spiritual growth is our investing in spiritual things. That we have something to give. That we have something to show for our faith. We have to invest in those things. So we got to put our plan right into practice. Growth starts with that plan. I mentioned a principle. We're going to have a principle in every lesson. And last week it was this, we called it the sky principle. Hopefully some of you remember what that was. I showed you my wonderful artwork. Remember the stick drawings? That's about as good as I can do. I got another one for you this morning. But there were the trees, and I said there's the sky principle states. There's always sky at the top of the trees. Look, it doesn't matter how much you've grown in your relationship with God, it doesn't end. There's always, the standard is set so high. There's always room for growth. The sky's the limit. When you're pursuing Jesus and His ways and His character, there's always sky at the top of the trees. There is always room for growth. Here's our principle for this lesson. I'm calling it the practice principle. Here you go, guys. This is as good as I can do. Best artwork I can do, stick figures right here. And you know really what the practice principle is. You've heard it in various ways. Just think about practice and what practice means in your life. What does practice do? As we practice something, it makes progress. In any area. You know, growing up in California, sports was big in my life. I was around sports before I remember. I started playing when I was 5, and soccer was the first sport that I played. Soccer was very big in California, a lot bigger than it is here in Colorado. They had AYSO, American Youth Soccer Association. It's huge. It's still going on there. But I remember practicing. I remember my first team, the Top Bananas. Can you top that name? And then the next year, we were the Cupcakes. I mean, and we were progressing. We were getting better and better. And we learned you don't, in soccer, bunch up like a bunch of grapes. And you learned that you got to spread out so you can pass the ball and move down the field. Just like in hockey. You don't see the hockey players all bunched up together in a huddle. They're spread out all over the place, all over the ice, so they can move and pass. We learn those things. We progress as we practice. And I think back to those days. Some of you can think back to your days. And it doesn't have to just be sports. Maybe you were in choir, but you still had to practice to improve, to develop, to become better. Let's examine the area of spiritual formation and the plan, putting our plan into practice. Here is a word for you many of us don't like. Discipline. Practice takes discipline, doesn't it? Discipline is so important. Matter of fact, I'll put this text up here, but I want you to turn to 2 Peter, because we are going to read some scriptures here in just a moment. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you would. I'll put chapter 1, verse 10 up here on the screen for you. I love this text. I really do. In chapter 1, verse 10, Peter said, "Therefore..." Anytime you see "therefore," you understand he has said something before that, that he wants them to remember "therefore." He said, "Brethren," Christians, right? These are believers. This is the church. He said, "be all the more diligent." That's very similar to discipline, continuous effort. "Be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. We all know, church, that God has called us through Jesus. We also know that He has chosen us, but there's also the truth that we respond to God too. We have to choose whether or not we're going to respond to the call of God. Are we going to respond to Jesus and His gospel call? Well, as the church, we have. God has called us. He's chosen us. And we have chosen Him too and His ways. But notice what Peter continues to say, for as long as you practice these things. Notice the these things. What does he mean, these things? He says, then you will never stumble. Well, if you back up in verse 5, those were the virtues that we read through last week. You remember when he said, you are to be diligent in these things, you have moral excellence. Moral excellence, you're to add knowledge. Knowledge, self-control. Self-control, perseverance. Perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, love. And then he says, and if these qualities are yours and are increasing, there's your growth word, increase. He says, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Discipline. That takes discipline. 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul told Timothy, for bodily discipline is of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for this life and life to come. We live in a time where people are big on health, and I don't think Paul was talking about going to the gym and health food stores. But he was talking about there is a benefit to body discipline. But he said it's only in this life. But hear what Paul said there to Timothy. He said, godliness is profitable for both. If you really want to be healthy in this life and the life to come, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. That's what he said. Paul will also tell Timothy that we were not given a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and there's our word again, discipline, a mind and attitude of discipline. We were given that spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit, but we were given that mindset by God, a mind of discipline. One of my favorite secular quotes is by Huxley, and through the years, I have shared this a few times. But I want you to think about this when it comes to our spiritual formation. Huxley said the most valuable result of all education is to make you do the thing you have to do when it ought to be done, whether you like it or not. He said it is the first lesson that ought to be learned. And no matter how early a man's training begins, he said it's probably the last lesson that he learns thoroughly. To do what you are supposed to do, whether you want to do it or not. That's true education. I think that's part of spiritual formation as well. And so here's what disciplined people who are disciplined do. When we are disciplined, disciplined people practice daily. Very simple. As you know, I like the all the military have some great quotes. They're great mottos. The SEALs have one, the only easy day is yesterday. Think about that when it comes to duty. It doesn't matter what you did yesterday. You can't rely on the mission of yesterday, right? Military people know this. You can't rely on what you accomplished yesterday anymore. It's gone. You don't have tomorrow either. Today is all you've got. Today's the day of duty. And you know what, church? When it comes to our growth, we don't have any other day but this Sunday, right now. This is the only day that you have to practice these things. So you prepared your plan, you practiced for a day, great. But what about today? Today's the day that matters. So disciplined people practice daily. Disciplined people practice daily the little things. We all know that growth is little by little, isn't it? You can't see true growth happen. You can look back and see it, right? When you look back, you look at the trees that you planted in your yard, right? You could stay there for 15 years. You're never going to see it growth, but You grow, but you're going to realize they've grown. Incremental little steps produce that growth, right? So it's the practicing daily of these little things, because growth is little by little. In spiritual growth, the little things matter. Just consistently do these things. Now, let's go to 2 Peter. Let's look at chapter 1. Grab your Bibles. Let's look at verse 12. Peter says there, and I want you to listen to the repetitive words, okay? And think about this with growth and the little things. He says, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things. What things? I've already told you the things. Peter's told you the things. Right? Moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love, those qualities. I want you to be ready always to keep these things in mind. Right? Even though you already know them, you don't remind people of things they don't know. We know these things. But we have to be reminded, don't we? I was thinking this morning, we're like a file cabinet. We got all kinds of knowledge up here. We know the things of Jesus, but we do need reminded. Anybody ever need reminded of God's forgiveness? Nah. I do. I know He loves me. I know He loves you. But we need reminded of those things. And that's what Peter is saying. He said, notice, as we continue to read, you've been established in the truth, which is present with you. So you have the truth. You're established in it. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, in his body, still alive, right? To stir you up by way of reminder. Knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. Peter is giving us insight that he knows that he's going to die, because the Lord has revealed it. As also our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. So listen, he said, remind, remember, stir you up by way of reminder, be able to call these things to mind. Jump to chapter 3. Notice verse 1. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you, in which I'm, here it is again, steering you up by way of reminder, or your sincere mind by way of reminder, that you should remember. He's repetitious, isn't he? Because repetition convinces people. But he said, you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of our Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. In other words, he's saying that you would remember the word of God, the grace of God, the knowledge of God. So remember, practicing daily the little things is so important. And then next, practice daily no matter what, whether we like it or not. That's the hard one for me. There's always exceptions. You don't need to tell me that. We all know it. But we also know we need to practice the things of God daily, no matter what. What's more important in our life? You know, when I look back at my life early on, I realize I messed this up many, many times, operating way too much on how I felt at the moment. Anybody else wrestle with that growing up? You operated on your feelings, and your feelings are not a good guide. This is really important for young people. Feelings are not a good guide. Matter of fact, the scriptures reveal to us that our heart and our feelings can actually misguide us. There is a way which seems right to a man. He feels right, but his end's the way of death, right? Jeremiah will reiterate those things too. The heart is sick, desperately sick, can misguide our lives. Somebody years ago had penned the words, you're better off acting your way into feeling, right, than to feel your way into acting. We understand this principle. If I waited to feel right, to do right, there are many things that I wouldn't have done that I should have. Those of you who work and have worked for any length of time understand this truth. I'm sure all of you have woken up every day to go to work and just been happy to do it. Come on, church. You know that's not true because you're human. You ever woken up and had the stomach flu? And sometimes we get really sick and can't go. We just can't. But all of you who have worked have gone to work before when you didn't feel like it. I've been up here in front of you, and you know this is has nothing to do with you at all. But there are times I have not wanted to be up here. I didn't feel like it. If I based my decision on my feeling, you'd had to have Ed get up here. Maybe that would have been better. Maybe I should have called in sick, brother. But you understand this, right? It's our duty. It's our duty to God. Because of God's great love for us and all that he has done. So remember the practice principle. That you practice, and that practice makes progress, that continuous improvement. This is how we form our, call them spiritual habits, habits of the spirit. As Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act but a habit. So excellent, living an excellent life is not one-time action but repeated acts. The repeated acts again and again, the consistency, the repetition of God's word and reading it and doing these things, the practice of it. Spiritual growth continues when we put our plan into practice. Let's pray. Father, we are really a grateful people. Today we all come from various places and things this week that we've faced and things on our minds and all the things of life. And we're thankful for the assembly, for this moment. So you've given us a place to come where we don't feel judged, where we know we're loved, where we can remember the highest, highest good, the truth, Jesus. Your salvation that you have given the world. True hope. And we have that and we love that. We ask that you fill our hearts today with all of that. Help lead us as we're thinking for a few weeks on spiritual formation and growth. To really think long and hard about our plan. And to practice that plan, to implement it, whatever it is. We trust in you that you will give us the increase, because that's what your word says. We will water, others will water, but you increase. You give the maturity and the growth. Father, it's my prayer that you help motivate us to practice these things this week, today, and if we're given the rest of the week, this week. So that we can, in the end and every breath, bring glory and honor to your name. And we pray these things in Jesus' name, and the church said, Amen. If you are not and have not began your spiritual journey with God, I pray that you will consider this morning that you'll believe in Jesus and receive his word. And that you will make that decision to experience that spiritual birth, which is our baptism. And that you can begin this walk of spiritual growth, glorifying God in your life every day. Let's stand and let's sing the invitation song. And if we can encourage you, pray for you, or help you, would you come as we sing the song of invitation?
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided.